Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
More madness from the Joker. Ben Affleck opens up. Big DC Universe happenings, and we're about to dive deep with an extended Aquaman trailer right now.
Baby.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC Movie News.
In the Great Hall of the Justice League, there are assembled the world's four greatest heroes.
Actually, four today.
Created from the cosmic legends of the universe.
Yeah, baby! Just as we would have hoped, we have so much to talk about. This is the DC Movie News Show right here on the Popcorn Talk Network. Let's get right into it. We have too much going on in the world of the DCEU and DC Universe. So, Johnny LaQuasta here at JQuasta with you. We're at DC Movies SK on Twitter and Facebook.com/DC Movies SK. The man to my far left is back from Europe. He has frozen bags of sausage that he's given out. He's the host of FX Movie Download. He's a Wurstmacher. Follow him at Adam Gertler. He's Adam Gertler.
Caw-caw, caw-caw.
What's up, man?
What's up? I got a little Arthur Curry on my shirt. He's up there saying, surf's up, dude.
Hey, why is that your call sound?
Well, caw-caw, caw-caw.
Yeah, why are you a caw-caw?
I was just thinking of Bottle Rocket.
Now I understand.
You know? Yeah, just in Europe. I was in Italy and Germany.
Dude.
I was making
das
the way.
Gut.
Oh my God.
Das
man.
Food.
Did you do any work or no?
I mean, technically, if I do something that was inspired by what I learned there, was it work? Yes.
Yes.
I did have to self-tape for an audition for a game show thing, and it was really funny because I was in Tuscany at the time, and so I had this Tuscan freaking background and I in the suit, and I was like, that was the funniest thing. So if I get that job, then I think I get to write off the entire trip.
Ooh,
nice.
Baby.
Yes, but what a way to be welcomed back into the country with 5 whole minutes of aquatic goodness today.
Yes.
So that's exciting. So I'm happy to be back in America.
That's awesome, man. Welcome back, buddy.
Thank you.
And the man to my close left, he's been on the show once before. He's my co-host in the Wrestling and Padre Slamcast. He's the host of the Mad Titans podcast. He sees everything comic book related, movies, television, and otherwise. He was just down in Atlanta this past week to hang out on the set of Black Lightning.
Yes.
Follow him at Mr. J. Washington. He is the well-rested Mr. J. Washington.
I am not rested at all. Stop lying to yourself. Well, I am still exhausted.
You were complaining 2 days ago.
I was complaining
that.
2 days ago.
Johnny, now I don't know how you do it, man. I don't know. I'm tired right now, but I don't know how you do it.
I've been ripping and running for the past 52 days straight running from different cities and states. But Black Lightning being on that set was amazing. When I tell you, I've seen the first 3 episodes of the second season. It is going to be phenomenal. They just did amazing.
I'm so excited.
They just did amazing.
When were you on the set?
Monday.
Where do they shoot?
Atlanta.
Oh, cool.
So I was in
Atlanta. I don't know why I pointed.
Yeah,
like, Atlanta's over there.
And I got to go to T.I.'s Trap Museum when I was in Atlanta.
And I learned about that the other day.
Yeah, we had a discussion on trap and hip-hop. Which,
first of all, I know hip-hop. Don't make people think I don't know hip-hop.
I'm just saying. Just
I just
you know,
don't know trap.
Trap and Chopped and Screwed are 2 different genres. But nonetheless.
Okay. So there's a trap museum?
Whatever.
Yeah, they made a trap museum that literally is like a dope
When
house.
You said trap museum, my immediate thought was like that.
Movie traps and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm talking about guns, drugs, roaches in the kitchen.
No illusions whatsoever.
None.
And by roaches, you mean
No, by roaches, I mean roaches.
Okay.
But yeah.
Papa Roach?
Not my last resort. But yeah, the second season is going to be amazing of it. I'll tell you guys more about it when we get
in
off.
TV time.
Yeah.
Jay, you know what's really exciting about you having been on the show once already?
What?
Is that you are the host of DC Movie News because it only takes one time.
Word. Yeah. This is on my resume now.
Apparently. Yeah.
According to
Use that.
Am I in the middle of some kind of trap war going on right now?
No, not whatsoever. But
I was just making a light little funny.
She is the crown jewel of the show. Follow her at Roxy Stryer. She's Roxy Stryer.
Oh, and she's on one.
Yes. I love it. So, guys, should we just get right to it and watch this 5-plus minute
extended Aquaman trailer and then discuss afterwards, because, you know, we got some news to talk about. We got some really cool Joker stuff. Everything about Joker right now is just so fascinating and intriguing and disturbing. We're going to get to that. And then Ben Affleck opened up as well about his life and his addictions and everything. But I think we got to go heavy Aquaman because hell, it just dropped.
So just jump in and let's watch that 5 minutes again.
I'm head first. On the deep end. Watch as I dive.
Now, do we have to talk over this? Is that that kind of thing? Like, we have to talk about it?
You definitely have to talk about it.
Let's just get wet, guys.
Let's get wet.
Do you guys understand my Star Is Born reference? And it's fine.
I'm seeing it tonight, lyrics. But
watch as I dive in. I'll never reach
Look
the ground.
Look at the beautiful lighthouse.
There we go.
My parents were from different worlds. Yes, aren't they all?
Hmm. One was from Jersey. One was from Tallahassee.
My mom was from the south side of Chicago. My daddy's the west side. It was a forbidden love.
Cubs and White Sox.
One thing you definitely notice is, from the gate, a bright palette to this movie, right?
Yeah.
Definitely. Very bright. Even underwater. Very bright.
It's very colorful. You are
part of something deep. I think that it's actually, even though it's an underwater, like, kind of non-end this world thing, it's very relatable.
The fact the whole world covers is underwater.
Just the fact that, like, parents from two different forbidden, all
this
that.
This, too, is great, right? Yeah, this is very Pacific. Yeah, I love this. I love the title card, buried in the water.
I wonder, will they start doing it now for all the movies? In some variation.
Right.
It
I think
so. They could have done it for them.
And then going to the desert, which is so opposite of Aquaman, which is becomes a key point.
It's like Aladdin meets Little Mermaid.
Yeah, that's right.
He's dry man.
So this scene is where we had heard the rumors of talking about like an Indiana Jones kind of thing. Yeah. Like there's a lot of myths and objects and sort
Stop
of things
pushing
like
me away.
That.
Sorry. I'm trying to be close to you. We went from hearing Indiana Jones to Star Wars underwater though. And I wonder
I mean you got a variation of it all.
Big genre kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But also they said it's kind of dark from beside like there are elements that are kind of dark because it's James Wan.
Sure.
How did you guys feel about Amber Heard's hair in this, and how did you feel about her performance in this brief little
shout out color correction? They made the hair red.
It's phenomenal. I don't like that my name is spelled wrong here in our little screen, but that's okay. We'll
I got to say, the time that
Elena's
that,
not
I'm
here,
the least
I'm
fun
here.
With this trailer is when it's just the two of them acting.
Wait, sorry, what did you say, Adam?
I said when it's just the two of them acting is when I'm having the least fun in this trailer. A trailer I like a lot, but I'm not feeling a lot of magic.
You're not thinking that they should have pissed on this?
I did like that line about pissing on it.
Well, he has a lot of lines that just sound like Jason Momoa just saying, I can add this in.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a different character from Justice League.
No,
it's definitely the same.
Same character, same dude.
I was more impressed with her in this, though, than what I've seen so far. So I actually got excited about Amber Heard.
Good. I mean, listen.
I think that was the purpose of this trailer, to showcase her more now.
Yeah.
Because in the original trailer, you don't really get much of her.
Well, on Screen Junkies this morning, people were talking about how this kind of seemed like Thor underwater. And I was saying, except for Amber Heard versus Natalie Portman, who had nothing to do with
it. Oh, right. Let's not bring her up, because that hurts.
Those are good comparisons to make, because you have these royal families and things like that.
And the color palettes remind you similar of Thor Ragnarok, of Guardians of the Galaxy,
you know,
when they're in Atlantis and whatnot.
I do feel like it has kind of like a Marvel cinema kind of tone, but one thing that's different is, have we seen a Marvel movie that has so many creatures that were rendered like original?
No, that
we haven't really seen that yet in a Marvel movie, right? And like, that is something that is...
That's the relation to Star Wars. That's what people...
Yeah. Right, like these sharks, and like, this is pretty
sharks,
cool shit.
Seahorses,
the seahorses, man.
I love... That's the stuff that's pretty...
And don't forget, last week we talked about we're going to get Topo, the musical octopus.
Yeah.
Oh, that's coming in? That's
going to
be
in? Everything.
They say we're going to get a brief...
Topo will make a cameo?
Can we talk about how dope Black Manta is?
Oh, my favorite part's coming up.
Amazing. This is definitely... His entrance is a great...
Yes.
Hang on. My favorite part's coming up at 3 minutes and 33 seconds in. Arthur Curry lands a step up Insiguri to the back.
Bam! Oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh, that take is great. It! Take
Wait,
it!
Did you just call that a step up Insiguri?
That's what it is. The step up Insiguri.
I love that.
It's a wrestling move. Is that?
It's a pro wrestling move. A lot of guys do.
I will say...
It's called the Shining Wizard of Time. Different things.
Okay, go ahead.
Go into the chat a little bit, because these people seem to be stoked about it. I'm excited that Kal-El says Black Manta is awesome. Joey says Momoa is so great. A lot of people are saying, Sky says I'm fine with Jason Momoa and Amber Heard's acting. Kal-El again says Thor, nothing like that. So, you know, some people aren't with it. Archie says I'm with Adam. The cheesy lines get to me.
This is such a dope scene.
This is cool because we had seen pictures of this sequence. We'd seen set pics, so I think that's good. And my
initial response is those guys are awful shots.
But to see it played out now is...
Yeah, it's really cool. And I love that this is just showing a lot of a little rather than like
a little of a lot.
Yeah.
And Patrick Wilson looks amazing as Ultra Master.
Ridiculous. He looks almost not like himself.
Yeah, he does. Like if you remember Patrick Wilson in Watchmen, this is a complete. It's a complete different dude.
Watchmen plays into his aw shucks every guy kind of appeal, and this is making him look like freaking Orlando Bloom almost, like in Lord of the Rings. Like he's all slick back and gone.
Our boy Paul Ponte is in the chat. He says at Johnny LaQuasso, thank you for the Inziguri reference.
Inziguri.
What's that? A wrestler?
It's the kid.
It's the wrestling
kid.
Move.
Shout out Paul Ponte.
What up, Paulie?
Everybody.
Oh, and just one little, we went for it. By the way, we put him in that costume.
And that's my second favorite
part. Well, it had been said it was going to happen, but they were like, hey, we're going to give you a little bit.
Huh, Sonia says, anyone get Fast and the Furious vibes? Anybody getting that?
I've never seen any Fast and the Furious.
Shut the front door.
Wait, you've never seen any Fast and Furious?
Not one.
Johnny. I mean,
Bam Anthony's pissed off.
Maybe in as much as it just like moves, there's a lot of locations and it feels kind of epic and global and sprawling. But no, I'm not the biggest fan of those films. I'm more excited for this than a Fast and Furious film. No.
I also just like to always remind you guys, in case you are new to the show and you're listening on iTunes or you're watching later on YouTube, don't forget that we actually go live on Fridays at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So when I'm talking about the chat right now, you can come join us live and actually have your voice be heard.
If
you ever want.
We got a few hundo in the live chat right now. I'm trying to build it. Go spread it around.
Wait. A few what?
A few hundo.
It caught me off guard. What? I would rather you just said a few. I know you so well.
Is it hundo in reference to money?
It's 100.
Like,
it's 100.
Yeah, I know, but time that I hear somebody be like, oh, a few hundo, it's money. Like, made a few hundo.
I always say weird words that Jay gets surprised by.
Because it just comes out of nowhere.
I try to teach him millennial terms, but it doesn't work very well. Him and Mike.
I know how to ship things.
Adam actually knows more about the millennials.
Oh, I know about shipping.
Yeah, it's old now. Shipping's old.
Oh, this is going to make my head
What's
hurt.
What's OTP, Johnny?
Oh, man, that's over the...
No, you're thinking of OTPHJ. This is just OTP.
Oh, is it dirty?
OTPHJ is dirty. OTP is not.
Okay.
OTP is one true pairing. Amber and Aqua.
No.
What, OTP.
No idea.
Cool. They use it in
let's go around the room. Adam Gurler, going to you first.
Okay.
Overall, is it, obviously this must have been the trailer they showed at Comic-Con Hall 8,
right.
You can assume.
No, we know.
We do know.
Yeah, we know. Right. That's what they do.
On a scale, if I'm scoring it out of 10, this is a solid 8 out of 10 for me.
Cool.
There you go.
This makes me more excited to see the film.
What would have given it a 10 for you?
Well, the worst thing I can say about it is, like, I don't know that we're going to break new ground with this film, and I don't know that that's the worst thing in the world. It just feels like there's nothing new that we haven't really seen here. Like, despite the Under the Sea stuff, I feel like it's going to be a solid movie. I don't think it's going to be like Dark Knight game-changing, genre-defining. I think it's going to be about on the Wonder Woman level, but maybe even a little bit bigger. I don't know if the character development will be as great as Wonder Woman. Like I said, I still am concerned about Momoa as being like the lead in the film. I just don't know. He looks the part, looks great. I think a lot of this will play to a lot of families. Around Christmas time, I could see a lot of people getting behind this film.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It seems like a really great, fun time, and I say fun, like, not in the way that people are talking, like, Venom is, like, fun. Like, I think this is just going to be, like, a good-ass time in the movies.
I think it does break new ground, though, because of what we've seen, how different this looks for a comic book movie. We've never seen creatures like this. We've never gone underwater.
Yeah, you might be right.
Like
as, I said that, I was like, all the creatures, all that kind of stuff.
It is new ground. Yeah, now, whether we love it or not, it will be different, but it is certainly unique in that sense. And then quick shout-out to Migraine Prod in the chat, who wants to know if this is based on a true story. Jay, you think this is a biographical piece of work?
There's a mystical Pacific Islander young boy who came of age. Mm-hmm. His mother wasn't Pacific Islander. She was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed woman who came from the water and met a dude at a lighthouse. It's a touch and tale.
Which is a good place to meet someone.
We've all heard that story before.
So it's beautiful, it's love at first fish.
Well, lighthouses are romantic, Jay. You know that.
I mean, what? Huh? Okay.
I want to know that story.
Do I want to marry a lighthouse keeper?
Jay knows a lot of things.
I didn't know nothing about lighthouses.
He did.
Okay. All right.
Also, by the way, can we talk about how if your name is James, you've got to do something crazy cool and in film? Like James Cameron and James Wan now both creating such epic things. James, everybody name your kid James.
Oh. So, Jay.
Not as well.
Johnny.
So, overall, you enjoyed the trailer.
I definitely did. I'm about a 9 out of 10 with this.
Hell yeah.
Black Manta is what I... Because I was so... That's the one character...
Yeah.
I
could have gone wrong.
Could have gone so wrong.
Well, what did you think when we saw the initial image of...
I loved it. From the helmet, I was great.
Because a lot of people hated that image.
That was the main thing I was hoping they got right. Because if they did the helmet wrong, everything else would have been wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And when they got the helmet right, showing Yaya Abdul Mateen making the helmet, that's still we saw.
Jay, I haven't seen the images yet. I'm sure you have. Of the Jake Gyllenhaal Mysterio. They didn't use that. Just because it's another comic book ridiculous helmet. Did they use that?
I haven't seen the one about the helmet yet.
I didn't even see the helmet in the image.
Okay, so maybe there has been no helmet.
Yeah, it's just him in the suit.
Because, they came out with his big helmet from the beginning. And you're like, all right, you're doing it.
I think that when you say you're doing an Aquaman film, you have to... Because the first thing any comic book movie does is give you their main villain out the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And the main villain, they're giving you two of them from Aquaman.
We have two villains.
You have Ocean Master and Black Manta.
Yeah.
Ocean Master, we was like, okay, how will you make him look when you believe that Patrick Wilson is this badass? And Black Manta is to the point where you're like...
He's more of a hired mercenary.
He's a pirate. He's a mercenary. Please don't make this suit look bad. Because the actor can be great. It's the suit. And so seeing the underwater, that's the thing I'm interested in. And what really sells me on it, the dialogue underwater. Because we all remember at the Justice League premiere when James Wan had to tweet, "Do not worry, there won't be air bubbles."
Bubbles, yeah.
And so they just talk, and you see the hair flowing underwater. So it's like they're still moving, but the dialogue, it all comes across smoothly, and I'm for it. The colors are amazing.
So is that just like a leap that the audience is going to have to take, like kind of like how the Russian turns to English and Hunt for Red October?
Yes.
Like you're just going to have to accept, sound doesn't travel like that, but...
Anything. I mean, you have to do it in Venom with the symbiotes, too, which
believing
you don't,
that Tom Hardy
can
play
do.
A reporter?
But
yeah,
you have
stretch.
To do it in time travel movies. Like anything that has to do with science that hasn't been invented yet, straight up talking underwater, you just have to either accept it or not, and some movies do a better job with you accepting it. Well, I have a feeling one's going to do that because it brings us into their world.
I think the difference, though, Roxy, is that if you're trying to make a fake science fiction explanation for why it happens versus just saying, this happens.
So
I mean, like,
deal.
A time travel movie might be like, all right, well, this is how we crack time, and you just accept it. You know, sound travels a certain way underwater, you know, like, are they just saying, like, no, this is just sort of translated, and normally it's vibrations that they would hear? I don't know. So,
well, you would think you would see, like you said, small. Well, the big thing in Justice League was they made a big air pocket.
Right.
And the thing is, you don't even see small air bubbles when they talk. It's just a dialogue.
Well, if they're in an air pocket, they wouldn't, right?
Right. And so that's something that looks great about that, because I remember reading a lot of statements from James Wan about how tricky it is to film looking like you're underwater.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to have the hair move, to have things that would still move while having the actors do their lines. Yep. And so that in itself sells me on this, because I'll have to use a Marvel reference. When you sold me on Wakanda, you had to sell me on Atlantis. Mm-hmm. And it sold me on Atlantis.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people are actually looking at this and saying that this seems like a similar storyline to Black Panther, mm-hmm. except the reverse, where instead of the good guy
Killmonger's
being on the throne and the guy...
Killmonger's a hero.
So
that's cool. That's
a lot of what you just said, Jay, is the reason that I'm on board. Let's be honest. Two words, James Wan.
Yes.
I mean, I have full faith in this dude.
What did I tell you about the name James?
It's all about the name James. No, James Wan is so self-aware, and not only of himself, his work, but also the DC universe. And he's never wavered once, if you notice, throughout this entire process of making Aquaman. The whole time, he's confident. He's got the biggest balls in the room. He's like, yeah, my film's going to be great. I don't care what else has happened in the universe because I had nothing to do with it. This is going to be good. And like you mentioned, we got two different villains. That's fun. Everything in the underwater world in Atlantis, there's so much stuff we haven't seen before. It's going to be a fun romp.
I agree with you, Johnny. I think the thing that the one person I'm most excited about so far is James Wan. Me too. When I said like the dialogue between Momoa and Amber, I have questions about, yeah. But that's the reason because. That's the reason I think that we're going to get a great movie and not just a great trailer.
And also we're not hearing about the studio being involved and interjecting a lot.
Don't you remember when James Wan was off the project for a while? Yeah. Like, he was rumored he was out. I know what happened was, like, he stood his ground.
He was like, this is what I want. This is what we're going
to
do if you
want
this.
And if not, I'll go to do anything else. Anywhere else. Because yep. anybody would hire him.
Yep.
And that was sort of like the beginning of, like, how they started to not make these movies under the Zack Snyder vision.
Yeah.
And I think that
it's called giving the directors the creative license to do what their vision is.
Which is what DC seems to be. That's the big difference.
Well, right, that's now. Walter Hamada now. Walter Hamada's like, look, I understand how universes need to go. I understand if you're going to have these different directors, you're going to have to do these things. And I respect it completely.
We say that, but like a couple months ago, we were like, that's Geoff Johns now. And I am not still in that where I feel like somebody is. I just haven't seen enough consistency yet to know that Hamada's doing that job and doing the job well.
I would say, that when we see with Aquaman and even the trailer for Shazam, how light and bright the trailer for Shazam is. Granted, the story takes a dark turn at a point, sure. But it's a light and bright trailer. It's absolutely. A lighter tone.
Yeah.
But I like in the Marvel universe the fact that if somebody has a different directorial take, it's not that it's wrong. It's if it doesn't fit into their picture,
right? Absolutely,
that they don't
and
use that.
But absolutely. I think we're not going to see that here, Roxanne.
Right? And I'm okay with that as long as it's not a mixed bag. Mm-hmm. If that's the case across the board, then I'm in.
Yeah, but I got what you're saying.
So far, we've seen them like tiptoe around it, and it's like if you just want filmmakers to make their own stuff and you want no connection, that's a different cool. ballgame. Yeah.
This is what. They're going to have to do now. And this is like, they're not trying to be Marvel. They're backing off the shared universe thing. The DCEU is not as much of a thing anymore because they realize, why are we trying to do something that is not our strength? You know, like they mm-hmm. didn't have the Feige from the beginning. And honestly, I don't know that people's tolerance for multiple comic book universes in films is really there. The best thing they're doing right now is creating a universe where if you want to see this Joker film, go see that. If you want to see this Aquaman film, go see that. They're going to be individual and they're not trying to be Marvel now. And I think...
Yeah, they're not trying to outthink their audience.
Yeah.
Which is important.
I in
a
like... way.
And they said there is a potential for them to come together. The DCEU that we see now, not right. the Joker film.
The worlds they're, of DC.
Yeah, there's a potential, so...
But let it be when the demand is there. Yeah, I'm not trying to force absolutely. It. Like, we've seen time and again with the Monster Universe, with this universe, with everybody trying to front-load the universe thing, people don't want it anymore. You gotta get on base.
But to give them a little bit of credit, because I know sometimes people say I can be negative, and I don't think that I am. I love DC. It is my whole world. Like, you guys yeah. know I... But to give them a little bit of credit here, I like when they're smarter than I am, and a lot of times I feel like if one of us was in the room, we would point out something that they seem to not notice. But where they have been smarter than I was by far is deciding to do this Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie, which I sat there and I poked at and I laughed at and I was like, this is dumb as shit. And then they decided to do
amazing.
It. And who knows how the movie's going to be, but it's creating a whole different world, a different audience, a different tone, a different caliber of artists.
And what's the temperature
I was
for
wrong.
It?
And the temperature is pretty good.
Pretty good.
So I'm glad that they were smarter than I was and had the foresight to see that. And I want to see them keep doing that because that's when you're doing your job.
I guess for me, the Joaquin Phoenix one was you're running a Joker now already. And the feedback a lot of people had from The Killing Joke was we didn't need the origin. Right. It was always that beautiful thing of not knowing where the Joker came from. And so now I feel like you pull back the layers on that. But, again, Joaquin Phoenix is an amazing actor, yeah. so I can't... I'll never be mad at
them. And I don't know that they are running a Joker now. I don't know that we'll ever see Leto again as the Joker.
I don't know either.
Well, yeah, because he's supposed to be got... Yeah, he's supposed to be doing Harley and the Jokers.
With the way this Joker is shaping up... I don't know why you would continue with the letter.
Should we talk about other Joker stuff, or do you want to?
You mean the Grand Theft Auto Joker?
We could throw up the new Aquaman poster. I mean, we've already talked about the trailer. We've seen it. It's pretty amazing.
It's yeah, great it
poster.
Awesome.
And also, there's an Aquaman Lego poster, because why not?
Legos tell you everything.
They do. Lego spoils it all.
Lego spoils everything.
And sometimes I'm mad at it, and sometimes
I'm my God, look at the hair. Cooper.
So, before... That's amazing. Before we move off, I'm curious, because I always like taking these predictions, because we're going to know the answer soon. Opening weekend predictions for this movie. I know it's way too early to tell.
What, domestically?
Domestic. I'm going big right now. I'm saying Aquaman's opening at $120 million.
Wow. You're going over a hundo. Wow.
I was
going
to say...
At this point, because I feel like this is major four quadrant, I see families, like, I feel like it's not too dark, but it's not too light. I feel like it's got the special sauce right now.
And that December 21st date is a really nice one.
Yeah, I think, you know what?
Christmas jam.
That's a little high, you're setting.
Test screenings have been extremely positive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
and don't that would be super high for December, right? Because previously Star Wars, like, crushed it.
But... It's always Star Wars. Yeah. It was Lord of the Rings at a point.
And don't forget, there's a lot of families that can only coexist if they go to the movies at the holidays.
Yeah, that's true.
Aquaman's going to be a good option.
I will be super duper stoked if we hit 100. If we get to that 100, I'll be super duper stoked.
I'm leaning more with on the Adam tip. I think over 100 for sure.
I'll say over 100, and I'll say that as a base. Once all of us see it and we do the whole reviews and everything we do, that will change the tracking number immensely.
It's always that week between because that's the geek buzz does this, right?
Once we start saying, hey, you need to see this, that tracking number just shoots
up. It's true.
Bunch of stuff going on in the chat right now. Jay says 80 mil. Archie says 90. Sky says 125 opening weekend. Paul Ponte, our boy, says, I think the ladies are going to want to go see Wet Momoa regardless of anything else.
That's what I mean. This is true. Everybody, like, Wet Momoa, sure. But also those sharks with saddles on them.
Hey, bro, you got sharks and seahorses with saddles.
What?
All right, so now we're
getting more excited as we talk about it, actually. It is breaking new ground. I take back what I said.
Going to move on. New stuff from Joker. We have a photo of Zazie Beetz and Joaquin Phoenix on a date in the new Joker film. Just a little screenshot there. There's also a couple other things. There's new Joker details that are hinting at a protest scene. People are saying they saw a bunch of people dressed up as the Joker. Someone actually turned a Thomas Wayne campaign poster into, like, the Joker face. So it sounds like somehow he gets people on his side in this film as well. A lot of creepy stuff.
I love, like, classic, like, 60s Cesar Romero
Joker
suit.
Costume.
Yeah, the Cesar Romero suit. And you know what? When I saw the makeup at first, I was like, wait, what? But then you see the steals where he goes by the carnival and stuff like that. I'm like, it makes sense. Yeah. Because who's to say this is the final at what we see at the end of the film?
Yeah.
You know,
true, that's what I was talking about, third act.
Yeah, third act.
Who knows what's going to happen?
Can I say the least hot take of all time, because this is not unique or original and everybody, but yo, I love Zazie Beetz. Like,
that is not a hot take.
That's not a hot take. It's the least hot take ever, but holy crap, does that, like, bring a next level for me for this?
There you go. And also, we are officially less than a year away from the release date, if it stays at October 4th.
So, a lot of people have been comparing this kind of to Taxi Driver.
Yeah, there's a lot. Because
it's De Niro. So, I'm wondering, that date with Zazie Beetz, is she going to go Harley Quinn, or is she going to be more Cybill Shepherd in Taxi Driver? Whereas, like, is he charming and then, like, realizes that... Like, is Zazie Beetz our sort of protagonist?
I think the latter.
I mean, the Joker's the protagonist, but is she going to be sort of the hero? Mm-hmm. Because this guy is going to become an evil MF-er.
Yeah, she is not going to side with him.
She's the one that's going to try to bring him back. You know, that's going to be like, Arthur, listen, you don't have to do all this. I'm assuming that's what it's going to be.
He's probably the most exciting actor for me working today. Like, when there aren't a lot of actors, like, I will see in anything he's in, even more so than Tom Hardy.
Are you saying Joaquin?
Like, I love watching him so much. That, you know, yeah, that movie that you were never really there or whatever. Like, I don't know if the movie was great. But I think he's so great to watch. And
he was amazing in it. The movie just wasn't my bag, but Bat Anthony effing loved the movie.
And I love the Paul Thomas Anderson movie that a lot of people, Inherent Vice, that people weren't, like, super into. Like,
do you want to hear another correlation to Taxi Driver? So, some other set photos got released that shows a Gotham City subway map and its layout of different neighborhoods, one of which is called Hinkley, all right? The reason why that stands out is Hinkley is also the surname of John Hinkley Jr., who said he was inspired to shoot President Reagan back in 1981 because of Taxi Driver.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Full circle. Go full circle.
So, wait, are they really calling him Arthur Fleck?
Yes.
That's really happening?
That's really happening.
Oh, yeah, and actually, apparently there were posters in the protest, like, supporting Arthur.
But why, why are you laughing at that?
It's just the Affleck thing is, like, crazy.
Yeah. Arthur Fleck. Yeah.
Ben Affleck is Batman? Like, that's just crazy. That's the weirdest thing in the world. So, but that's so DC, I guess. They love being self-referential and, like, using actors that have been in their own stuff and everything. Like, that is...
I can't even tell you. I mean, Aquaman, we're all pumped. But this Joker film, holy God.
This is going to have a... Because of how it looks, because of it being De Niro and Scorsese involved. And the gritty 70s feel.
Do we know if Scorsese's involved? I heard he really wasn't.
No, he's not his producing partner.
Okay, yeah, that's what it is. Okay. But you're going to have that older generation who's going to go see this because of the look of the film, too.
Yeah, and I think also we've always made a routine of talking about, like, with Justice League, with Wonder Woman, with Aquaman, like, how the weight of the world is on the DC shoulders. Like, DC is going to be made or broken by this film. But with this film, I don't think anybody feels
no
like...
No,
no, there's no stress
way.
At all.
Right?
There's no
which kind of makes you able to relax and just be like, all right, this is weird. Nobody wanted it. And I'm now kind of like, all right, I'm okay with there being no Batman and Superman news for right now because, like, let's just make some good movies.
Let's enjoy what we got. Birds of Prey, new casting. Rosie Perez will be Renee Montoya.
Yes.
Jay Washington, could we ask for a better detective?
No, you could
than
not.
Rosie Perez.
Academy Award nominee Rosie Perez.
That's right.
It was actually, there was actually other women up for the role. I can't remember the names off the top of my head. But for them to go Rosie Perez, someone who can give you that depth that you need.
She's
for
been on a bit of a comeback tear recently.
Oh, absolutely she has. And she's played a police officer before, if we remember Pineapple Express. So... this is actually a good thing for her. And again, everybody now wants to be a part of these comic book universes. So I you got Rosie Perez, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Jurnee Smollett-Bell, Margot Robbie. As of right now, that's an amazing cast. And I think they announced who was playing Black Mask. I'm not exactly. I remember it was a while
back.
No,
we're between a couple people.
Okay,
right now.
Between. Okay.
But Homeboy turned it down, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but nonetheless, you're rounding out a solid cast for this film. Mm-hmm. So there, I was a little bit skeptical because, of course, you heard all the different Harley Quinn projects, mm-hmm. and so
one of which was Joker
was
Harley.
The Harley Joker Harley, and then Suicide Squad 2, all these other
Suicide Squad.
Yeah,
the squad. All right, but nonetheless, to hear this is a great cast announcement, and I think it works. I trust Kathy Ann for sure by a million yards. I trust her completely.
Why do you trust her? Because of what we've seen? Or did you see that one movie that she did that people like?
I didn't see it.
I didn't see it either.
You know what? Hearing
what
her,
was it called?
Hearing all the critics and everyone who praised her when the announcement came, there was nothing but praise and like, yes, her. So to hear that would automatically instill a level of confidence because there was no backlash at all about her.
King's port called Rosie Perez and White Men Can't Jump.
Yes, yeah.
Say, one of my biggest all-time movie crushes.
Billy, you got
I was
money
very, very.
And also, I will always love Rosie Perez.
At the beginning to Do the Right Thing.
She has a connection to In Living Color, my favorite show of all time. She was the choreographer for the Fly.
Oh, really? That's your goat?
Yeah. Oh, best show.
Yeah, she was the reason. Yeah, she was the choreographer.
Yeah. That shows
that's me. Awesome.
All right, so yeah, great casting there. Rosie Perez, we love you. Ben Affleck opened up this past week about, you know, addiction and rehab, and I'll just read.
The only reason this is relevant, obviously, is because it does have an effect on the worlds of DC, so mm-hmm. that's why we talk about it, not because we're trying to be scandalous. Just
yeah, of course, not
know.
At all. But he did say, you know, this What's week scandalous? I completed a 40-day stay at a treatment center for alcohol addiction and remain in outpatient care. He thanks everyone for the support. And, you know, he says, with acceptance and humility, I will avail myself with the help of so many people. And I'm so grateful to those who are there for me. I hope down the road I can offer an example of those who are struggling.
I support Ben. I will support you more when you remove that Phoenix tattoo.
It's not my favorite. Yeah.
You remove that tattoo, you have my
Is that like across his back or something?
His back.
Have you not? It is.
I've seen it, I think. It's awful. I gotta say, I'm embarrassed for fandom a little bit. For a lot of reasons, but like when as soon as the guy comes out not looking bloated and puffy, it's like he's back in Batman shape. Is he going to be Batman again? Like, dude is just working out. They're not going into production yet. Okay, like,
he's allowed to be healthy without being cast.
I mean, there is a source close to him supposedly that said he's back in shape, not only for his health, but he's found a newfound love on doing Batman at least one more time again. He feels he isn't finished with what he wants to do with the character. So that comes from a supposed source.
I just
that
have
could
an issue with that.
Anybody. I don't know.
My issue is that we're going back and forth.
Yeah.
It's like one minute he's in, one minute we're not sure.
Whatever the next decision is, I need it to be the decision.
Yeah, make it.
Yesterday. I think that if he wants in, I'm going to welcome him back mm-hmm. open arms. And if he doesn't, I'm going to ask no questions, and I'm going to say that is your prerogative, and I hope that everybody takes those stances so that we can just move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want people being like, well, now that you're sober, you don't want to do it anyway? Well, F you! That's my 12 voice right now. A lot of talk of Adam Driver as Batman in the chat right now. the body's still not cold. Adam Driver's probably my favorite actor of this time, but the body is not cold.
Nah.
Stop casting, bro.
So here's something incredibly cool. So basically, once again, Zack Snyder killing it on Vero.
Don't understand this.
A fan posted this photo and said, wow, I wish we could have had the full vision of Zack Snyder. You know, more or less, I wonder what we could have seen in the five-story arc. And someone commented on Vero, and then Zack Snyder commented back, of course, saying that he would have killed Batman at some point.
Here's the thing about hindsight, Johnny.
It's 2020.
It's 2020.
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
What? Are you mad at Zach?
Yes.
Why?
I'm just starting to get a little sick of this because it's easy to sit where you're sitting now and be like, well, I would have killed Batman. What? Like, now that we're having all this.
You stepped away for the reasons you stepped away.
And that makes complete sense.
But it's talking points for fans.
No, but I don't know if it's talking points. I think it's poking the bear.
Yes.
Because you still have those fans who are still going to release the Snyder Cut.
Well, that's because Warner Brothers has messed up a lot. So it's like, why not?
But from where you're sitting, I just think, remember what it's like to be there. Get off of that horse that you're on. And you didn't have say. You didn't kill Affleck or Batman. So why are you talking about that? Why?
Because I assume he had a lot of pride in what he did, and it's something that the fans enjoy talking about.
Let's look at this in a vacuum. I don't know whether or not that is confirmation that is what he was going to do, but if we want to comment on what we think of that, that might be interesting. Like, if you told that story and killed Batman and that was the idea, like, what was the idea then? Like, that was going to be a mini version of the DC universe and you were going to restart it? Or were you going to be bold and be like, no, this...
We don't need Batman in our universe.
Well, we said Dick Grayson was also dead in his world.
Right.
Like, yeah.
I just think, you know, going back to the whole thing, like, the Zack Snyder vision was not one that I agree with.
I really would not have liked if he killed him. I really would not have liked that move because we didn't even have a Batman film yet. It's not like this is a character that we had lived with for a long time with this iteration of it. We didn't have that. So, in a vacuum, Adam, I don't think this was a smart idea.
It would have been bold. The best thing I could say about it is what a bold thing. But
also, what I think it does, too, is it's going to start – if he keeps this up, it's going to take away from the focus on the other films.
Not really, because I don't think – I think it's only us that are listening, like the nerdy minority. I don't think the public that is really shopping is listening.
Whole, yeah.
But I will say
this. Vero is.
If Captain America gets killed in the next Avengers film, you know, which
you
is the equivalent
tweet.
To this,
yeah,
then that's going to matter. And I don't think people will be mad at that.
No.
But this whole thing seems so rushed from the beginning so that I have to say that, yeah, this was a bad idea, just like not caring about Jimmy Olsen, just like, you know, starting with an older Batman who's like a drunk womanizer. Like, I get it was bold. I just don't think it was the best storytelling displayed.
I agree.
Fair enough. Let's see. Gareth Reynolds, the final story before we go to TV time. Gareth Evans was speaking about Deathstroke this past week. I didn't really catch this story. This is on our... Does anyone see what was going on here?
Yes. Basically, you know, Gareth Evans... I don't know why he was doing press, but he was being asked about the Deathstroke movie. And Manganiello had intimated about... Bat Anthony, did you have something to add to that?
I could interject. He has a new film coming out, I believe, for Netflix called Apostle.
Well, that's exciting. Is it an actioner, as they say?
No, it's not actually. It's horror. It's hard horror. He's stemming away from the action for now.
Basically,
if you want to take it on him.
He said that his Deathstroke film would not have been a huge 2-hour and 20-minute spectacle. It would have been a tight 80-90-minute movie. Kind of what a lot of people were thinking, like, yeah, you put Deathstroke in the Raid type film, you have Deathstroke on a mission, and that could, to me, sounds like it would have been
an amazing... screensaver.
Right. Oh, my right?
My screensaver is Deathstroke, so I was all in for this.
Are you upset that we're probably not going to see this version of Deathstroke?
When I saw, I'm not going to lie, when I heard we were getting the movie, I was happy. When I heard he was the villain for the Batman, I was like, yes. And when we saw Joe Manganiello at the end of Justice League, I stood up and applauded.
It's right? Manganiello.
Whatever.
Because I heard his wife say it on a Hulu commercial.
Okay, Joe Manganiello.
Okay, but I also heard this week that it's actually Chrissy Teigen, so we never know how it is.
Hey, all right.
She said that.
When I saw, when I I saw Joe in the Deathstroke suit as Slade Wilson, I stood up and applauded because that was a great look. The only look we've had is close. Live act Manu Bennett has been a good look. Yeah. But to have him and knowing this was going to be a film, I was excited. And then all of a sudden you hear, well, we're not going to do it, because what that did also is it kept playing with TV. Because it started saying, well, Arrow, you can't use Deathstroke anymore.
But then they were like, actually, you can.
This is actually going to tie into a story we're going to talk about at TV time, actually. But yeah, going back to the Manu Bennett one, that looked so... I loved it. And then it looked ridiculous after seeing the Justice League one. And so good was that Deathstroke appearance that it made me believe for a while that I liked Justice League more than I did. Like, that's how great that ending scene was.
I still enjoy Justice League, but hey, that's another talk for another time. Should we move on to TV Time Rocks?
Always.
It is time for...
It's time for Roxy Stryer's TV Time. All the girls think Johnny's fine. Adam's cooking so divine. Also, Mikey.
I can't wait for your sausage.
DC movie news.
Me neither. So
TV Time.
We got a lot going on this week. Before I forget to talk about it, Matt Bomer was cast in Doom Patrol as Negative Man. Mm-hmm. The reason that I really like this is because he's awesome, but similar to some of the other stars on the show, we're actually not going to see much of him. It's going to be mostly vocal, and then we're going to see him in flashbacks. I also feel like with Matt Bomer, his name has been floated out there for so many superheroes
over the years.
Right? And so I do wonder if this is where we wanted him to land, although I think he will knock it out of the park. How do you guys feel about this casting?
Well, what do we know him from?
White Collar.
So I don't really know him that well, but I do wonder the way DC likes to use lots of people, this is not like where he will land. Like, this doesn't preclude him from appearing somewhere else as someone else within DC. You know, he's doing a voice role here.
Well, we're going to see him in flashbacks. That's true.
But
that doesn't mean that Marvel couldn't swoop him up for something big.
I think it's cool that they're getting some, like, recognizable Magic talent Mike. For some major voice roles and then using them as flashbacks, just like Brendan Fraser.
Chuck, Glee, Magic Mike, both
on
of them.
On the DC streaming universe, on DC Universe, you can watch the little animated Doom Patrol shows that they had from a couple years ago, which are really cool, quick ways to get introduced to the characters if you're short on patience like I am.
Cool.
I'm very, very excited.
Jay, how do
this.
You feel about this casting?
It's adding to an already amazing cast listing. You've got Matt Bomer, Brendan Fraser, Alan Tudyk, Javon Wade is Cyborg. Who they got? They played up. They got so many. Timothy Dalton. So many great actors.
Timothy James Dalton. Bond.
Yeah, James Bond is the chief in this.
It's crazy.
So this pumps me up a lot. Like, Titans, I wanted to. I'm cool with. But the casting for
Diane Guerrero too. She is Crazy Jane. If you guys know her from Orange is the New Black, she's amazing.
Amazing. The casting announcements for Doom Patrol have been amazing. And then we saw some steals of Robot Man and things like that. I'm like, yes, let's do this.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why right from the start I was like, this is the reason I would want to watch DC Universe is this show. Cool. One of the reasons.
Yeah, cool. that's another example of a show that doesn't have as much attachment to it. So it's like really free. It doesn't have a lot of baggage. So I think like it'll be great to see, you know, how it just does on its own. It's not like Titans that has like Robin and Batman implications and things that people are going to be all up in arms about.
Speaking of DC Universe, let's take a look at Harley Quinn, because we got a little bit of this animated series, and I think people were pleasantly surprised by this video. A couple daggers thrown.
Okay.
What's up, New York? I can't wait for you guys to see my new show on DC Universe.
So specifically for Comic-Con this was done.
I promise.
I think they're going to hate it, Harles. They hate everything.
No way.
Is that supposed to be Poison Ivy?
Yeah. Incredibly cool. It took me a minute to get it, too.
And unlike that Deadpool cartoon, it's actually coming out.
I thought very funny.
I was going to make a show that was like super gritty and bleak and depressing. You know, like a DC thing.
That is an excellent way to make television and film.
Oh,
but
snap.
But in one of my shows, will bash their
There's no fun in Arkham, Quinn.
Yeah! Kevin Conroy appearance.
All right.
Oh, is that the logo? I like it.
I mean, not the accent I was expecting, but hey.
No, it's not. Kaylee Cuoco is newer to this, and I think that a lot of people were surprised by it. I liked your take on this, though, Adam, with her voice.
Yeah, I had the same reaction everyone else did. Like, that is not my Harley voice. And I'm like, well, It's okay to take a break from that. That is literally the only take we've ever seen on Harley's voice since 1992.
Right.
And it's been people doing imitation, whether it's Tara Strong or Arlene Sorkin. It's all the same version of the same thing. Let this be its own thing. Open this character up a little bit, just the way we saw Batman or Superman or any other character that we've seen. The reason why we love them so much is over their history, they've... people have added and changed the mythology and grown it. So let this be a different thing, not doing the same Puddin' Cutie Pie voice, and let the show stand on its own. And right now, it seems it has a sense of humor.
Shout out to Lake Bell, who was the voice of Ivy here, who I think is very, very talented. Also, a bunch of other people voicing in this that I'm excited for. Ron Funches, who already over from the DC universe as
Powerless,
but a million other things. Very funny. Do you know him, Johnny?
I sure do. Yeah.
JT Lynn points out
Tony
that was
Hale.
Not Kevin Conroy. Sorry.
Tony Hale, also amazing. Jason Alexander. Jason Alexander, which is awesome.
Tony Hale? That's hilarious.
Yeah, J.B. Smoove, which I'm excited for. Wanda Sykes, Alan Tudyk. There's a lot of things to be excited about for this Harley show. So if in case you weren't already thinking about getting the DC Universe, now you definitely should be.
I hope they expand this to more platforms. I'm frustrated that I can't watch it on my TV right now.
You go internationally, you can watch some of it on Netflix.
I think that's the thing, though. Now, you know, all these companies want to have self-contained stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it seems like everybody's cutting the cord.
By the way, comment in chat roll, it's not Kevin Conroy. That was
right.
No, we already...
I said that. Yeah, I saw that. Sorry.
There you go. Cool.
Yeah.
But, like, on the TV itself, like, I have a web TV where apps just kind of come up on an LG store, right? Or the PS4, but, like, neither of those I can get DC Universe.
You have to have a Chromecast.
Yeah.
Or Roku.
Roxy's got it.
Yeah.
Because I got it on a Roku.
Okay. Let's move on. Again, still sticking with the DC Universe. Reviews are in about Titans, and, woof, some people are being positive.
It's split.
Some people are really not. I've heard both. What are you guys feeling like you're seeing more from the internet right now?
I will say I think it is the coolest thing in the world that in the same year that Titans Go to the Movies for Children is released, that a Fuck Batman TV show is released with the same characters. I will say,
and that was our one F word for our PG-13 rating for the day, folks.
That is something that Marvel will never do. You do not see them you know, Disney Marvel, I mean, like, does not...
Not at all.
So that is bold. It sounds like it's early. It sounds like it needs to find its footing. It sounds like tonally it's not there yet, but they're going for something. So I'm going to be watching just like everybody else.
I saw a headline, and it just tickled the hell out of me because it was so basic. It said, Titans review. Teen Titans, no.
That was a Collider one.
The Collider one also had about the thing with the stabbing him in the nuts.
It was just because I've seen a lot of them that overall have been like, this isn't good. But then I've seen a few that's like, hey, it does work. So it's one of those very split.
It's all subjective. And don't forget, a lot of times people are going to be negative to get clicks, too. So it's like, you got to take it for yourself and see if you enjoy it.
Yeah.
Migraine Prod says, I can't have DC because I live in third world France. But to that I would say, but your bread is so much better.
Like, so much better.
So feel
good about that. Let's move off of that for a second to talk a little bit about Lobo, because we got an image. Who is it? Emmett J. Scanlan. Get excited about this.
It's always the hair.
Yeah.
And I mean, I wish he was a little bit bigger.
I have to say, if this has affected me zero bits. I did not look at this and feel anything.
I was like, okay.
And by the way, Krypton is moving from Sci-Fi to the streaming service.
Is that...
I thought they were staying on Sci-Fi.
So I wasn't sure about that. I did see that Krypton was coming to DC Universe, but does that mean that last season
is
coming?
Batmanthony actually covers it for AfterBuzz, so maybe he can give us some details.
Can you confirm that new episodes appear on Sci-Fi and then it will live on DC Universe a la the CW shows on Netflix?
I haven't heard anything on that, so I'm sorry, I can't comment on that.
I hope not, though.
So the way that Variety... Here's what...
That it would move to the DC.
Okay, I'm wrong. I thought I saw a headline that said it moved.
Here's why you thought that. Variety phrased it as, the DC Universe just got a whole lot more Lobo, because everybody keeps recalling this the DC Universe.
Which is why people
are thinking DC Universe.
Mm-hmm. See, I think that's
great branding.
I think the branding was the name. But nonetheless, I think people were excited at first to hear We're finally getting Lobo.
Spencer Straub says, no, season one is going to DC Universe. Sci-Fi still gets the second season.
Okay. Oh.
So that's, I mean, that's what that headline sounded like. So, yeah. Hey, Spencer, can you back that up with anything, or is that just your interpretation? If there's a link or something, we'd love to know. But that sounds like that makes sense. I think that's great.
Yeah. I would not care. I don't care about that.
I care because I do like to watch these shows without commercial interruption. So
my only.
But are you watching it?
Krypton?
Yeah.
I'm almost done with that first season. Really? I've got like one or two left.
Okay. Here's my problem with the only problem I have with Lobo coming to Krypton. Lobo is an R-rated character.
I know.
He's an extremely R-rated character.
Yeah.
So you're going to, for Krypton especially, you're going to have to water him down.
Mm. Well, they say shit and stuff on...
yeah, but shit is a regular word
they
on television.
They should shit and Venom 90 And he can say times.
Frag all the time. Doesn't he say friggin' frag? Like, isn't that Lobo's thing?
He says, but he also says a lot more. He says a lot more. So it's just... It's going to be tough to see.
I would say, Jay, that I think you can have a lot of fun with the fact that Lobo curses so much by having those frags and, like, have people be, like, offended. Like, just have it land, like, the actual F-word.
Like it would.
Yeah, and I think that would be an interesting thing to play. I don't know if they'll do that, but, like, have this guy, like, geez, like, have people almost, like, blushing in his presence.
Okay, I got you. I got you with that.
Maybe. I don't know.
Let's talk a little bit about Gotham. Jay, are you still watching the show? Or did you? Okay, me too.
I'm still watching it.
Are you not as in as I am in the last season?
Well, last season I was like, I guess when they did the whole, first it was Jerome's the Joker, then it became Jeremiah, and then the whole swapping thing like that, I was like, what are
you
doing?
A little convoluted.
It got a little convoluted. It's just that because at first, we all know the show, if you know how the show was supposed to be, it was just supposed to be the story of Jim Gordon, but nobody cared about Ben McKenzie. And so then
I care about Ben McKenzie. Yeah. OC for life.
But then afterwards, they had to switch the focus. They were like, well, we actually have to talk about Bruce. And so...
So that's what they seemingly are doing for this last season.
It's year one. Batman year one.
Instead of having 22 episodes, we only have 10. It's going to be an abridged season for the final one. And apparently they're planning to tackle the creation of Batman. So it will be interesting to see. A lot of this is coming from David Mazouz, who I will say, for a kid, has handled himself so well press for this show. He actually was a guest of ours on AfterBuzz TV. He was a guest of when I was covering the Glee after show prior to this show ever airing, because he was such a massive Glee fan, they asked if he could come on. He's like this cute little kid, and now he's Batman. And he's done such a great job, because I feel like he doesn't let anything slip that doesn't need to slip, but he keeps the fans
excited.
You're
saying he's not Tom Holland. Go ahead.
I'm gonna try to watch this. I haven't watched, like, I'm a full like season behind on Gotham, but I'm going to not worry about it and watch the last 12 episodes.
I would like to as well.
And what's interesting is
great, even better.
It's kind of crazy. We've been doing this show since the beginning of Gotham, and most of us never thought it would reach a season five.
So, I did.
Hey, kudos to them.
He was talking about, he didn't want to answer too much, but he says, I think that's kind of a big decision, and I'm excited for people to see it, and I don't want to give it away. But basically, we're going to see some kind of
creation
start.
Of the Bat.
Yeah, so I'm excited for this.
So that's TV time?
That's time.
Unless you want to talk about Black Lightning. Just so.
Oh, yeah. I definitely want to hear about your trip.
Yeah, especially since you have some first-hand insights.
So they did announce officially, they have a splendid amount of guest stars this season. They announced that Erica Alexander, who was on Living Single.
Whoa, okay.
So it was Living Single, The Cosby Show. She was in Get Out. And it's also funny because last season they had T.C. Carson, who played Kyle, and Cress Williams played Scooter on Living Single.
Okay.
So they're doing that. I wish I could tell you, but they've got some heavy hitter guests. They are doing, it came out in the news, they're leaning towards The Outsiders. I'll just say that. The sets that they've built this year are all contained within the sound stages for the most part, and they're amazing. The interviews with the cast were phenomenal because they talk about so much that's going on. Talking to Marvin Jones, who plays Tobias Well, was amazing because he talks about how in-depth he gets with the character and how he's made the character its own life itself.
Yeah, he's great. He's like one of the best things about the show.
He's one of the best things.
I
had
SDCC.
No idea that was Erica Alexander in Get Out.
Yep, that
was her. Okay.
Yeah.
She's very good.
James Remar is Gambi. He's going to do a lot more. We've seen, if you saw the trailer.
I'm excited for that because they have underutilized him and he's had a little bit of a strange performance on that show thus far.
Well, I think because it was the setup for him. It was the, what Salim Akil, when I talked to him, what he wanted to do was he wants to establish the dynamic of the family first and foremost. Yes, Gambi's a part of it, but not the focus.
Yeah.
So now this season, in the first three episodes, you'll see that they'll go a little bit more with Gambi and things like that. I remember.
So you saw the first three.
I saw the first three
episodes. Which one should we be most excited for?
Ooh. First, make sure you watch the first one next Tuesday when it comes out. I would also say the third one is going to hit you as well.
Okay.
Because the third one is going to be real nice. Things are going to start building up extremely well.
Great.
So this season is, it's starting back. It's hitting on the same notes and same beats the last season hit on. The same messages and undertones that Salim Akil gave in season one are staying in season two. He did not stray from them. He didn't beat you over the head with them either.
No.
You know, so he's still doing that. To talk to Cress Williams and Nafisa Williams about how's it like trying to get into suits, they said they hate it. Because Cress Williams said it takes him a half an hour to put on the Black Lightning suit.
Oh, God, my this world's smallest violin plays for you. I'd love to take that half hour and put on that suit. I did want to confirm Cameron Cuffey's Twitter does confirm that Sci-Fi is home to Krypton, and that's where season two will air.
I think it's a silent E.
It's Cameron Cuff, great.
Yeah.
Until then, you'll be able to catch up on season one on DCU. So that confirms what we just talked about there. And also, so many people in the universe and on our feed were like, Momoa should have been Lobo. But, you know.
Yeah.
I think everybody agrees with that.
Listen, that would have been great.
I mean, if you find another dude that looks like Jason Momoa, go on and put him as Lobo in for movies. Go on.
And I think that is it for TV time now.
Johnny. That's it for the show. We got to run. We're at DC Movies SK on social media. Adam Gertler, put yourself over.
You can find me at Adam Gertler on Twitter. And if you want to see pictures and videos of my trip to Italy and Germany, mostly of food, not of me.
Love that.
Then you can go to my Instagram at Adam Gertler. And there's lots of pizza and pasta and wine and intestines and all kinds of great things. And beer and all that good stuff.
Love a good intestine.
Right. Oh, my God. So good.
I'm Roxy Stryer. You guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer. Also, don't forget to check out my Patreon, patreon.com/RoxyStryer, where I drop my bedroom reviews and Smoke Tree Explained TV, where in 2 minutes or less, I try to explain confusing episodes of television while being absolutely baked. So those are pretty enjoyable. Also, are on Collider Live Monday through Wednesday. Hopefully, you'll be seeing a familiar face there real soon.
Oh, yeah. Let's hope so.
And Screen Junkies on Fridays also.
Jay!
Oh, okay, I was waiting, I didn't want to just interrupt.
I had a whole list of them. People say I don't promote enough, so now I'm just trying to all get it in there.
Understandable. Got it. Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Mr. Jay Washington. That's MRJAY. You should know how to spell Washington. Really, you should. YouTube.com/JAYWashington80. Check out the Mad Titan podcast, madtitancast.com. It's on iTunes, Google Play, and everything. I talk about all of the movies and all the TV shows in both the Marvel and DC live-action cinematic universes. And catch me on the Wrestling Compadre Slamcast with a certain Johnny LaQuasto over here, where we talk about everything in the world of wrestling, and sometimes it goes off the rails in the first 5 minutes.
First 3 minutes, as a matter of fact.
3 minutes.
Good deal. Mike Kalinowski at Mike Kalinowski. You can see him all over the place on the internets and stuff like that. I'm at Jay Quasto. Real simple comedy special. I'm filming Sunday, November 11th at the Brea Improv, 7 p.m., 9 p.m. If you are anywhere near Orange County, I will give you free tickets. It's the biggest night of my life. I hope to see you all there. It's a whole big deal and setup and stuff, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
What's the date again?
Sunday, November 11th. I have a bunch of shows coming up, getting ready for the special. San Diego, Jacksonville, Philly, and just kind of hopping around. So hit me up, and I'd love to see you at one of the shows. But yeah, November 11th, guys. Thank you so much for watching. Thanks for listening. We love you. We'll see you next week.
Keep chasing your dreams.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.